His love always good? There would be a tendency to immediately answer both of those questions with a very, very loud yes. But are you sure? It is true, as we have studied for at least the last 3 weeks and three lessons on the subject of love, that love is the greatest when compared to faith and hope and perhaps many other concepts. Love is the last, perhaps meaning at the top in the list of the seven areas of growth that we discussed. Love is definitely the fulfilling of the law as expressed in Romans 13. And as we studied this morning, the love of God that's shown toward us is really unspeakable. That's how great it is. There's a rather interesting verse in 1 John 2:15 that starts out with the two words, love not. Commandment after commandment is given in the Word of God that says love. And yet here is a verse that says love not. This afternoon I tried to check as many different translations as I could on this verse to see if there was any indication of any change whatsoever. And I found none. In fact, in looking at one of the latest translations that I have, which is the New Revised Standard Version, 1 John 2:15 starts out by saying, do not love. We might not expect to find those words in the Bible. Do not love, love not. It is when we read the rest of the verse and the context that we begin to understand what he's saying. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There is an approach by some in our present time to suggest that everything that is said and done dealing with religion and spiritual matters should be done in a positive way. That there should be no negative teaching. In fact, it seems that there are those who would call what's in Exodus 20 the Ten Suggestions instead of the Ten Commandments, and have failed to realize that there are the thou shalt nots along with the thou shalts. Folks, as important as the positive approach to life is, the very fact that God is completely just and fair dictates the necessity of a negative side to every positive. And that's true even with the subject of love. There are times when what we call love, at least, is sin. When love becomes sin. I know of no better place to find an outline for a discussion of this than right in the text itself. Using the three points that describe what's involved in the appeal of the world, and then looking at the context in general to see where love can be a problem relative to other types of love. Notice first that he says there is the lust of the flesh involved. The word lust is used here, but it's used as a subtopic for the idea of love not. And so in a sense, he is saying that there are those who live with a love for fleshly things. I have difficulty defining the word love. I'm not for sure that I have ever read an adequate definition of it. You would agree with me, I'm sure, that it involves feelings, that it involves affection, and that of necessity, there would have to be some kind of an object toward which that affection is directed. And so immediately we begin to see that that there is a type of affection that a person can have that is either toward the wrong object or without the right attitude dealing with that affection toward that object, or in some other way violates the principle of real love. There are those, it seems, although it's hard for me to understand their thinking, who live with nothing more than a love for, a desire for, the gratification of the fleshly appetites. There are different appetites involved with this, but we especially think in terms of hedonism, where a person seemingly lives with the idea that all I need to do is to gratify my own selfish, or at least my own self, my own desire for the satisfaction of the physical appetites that I have. That becomes his number one love in life, and sometimes almost becomes his God. The person who lives just for the desire of pleasure and for pleasure is said to be dead while she liveth, 1 Timothy 5:6, and is living in search of that which is at the very best seasonable, the pleasures of sin for a season, Hebrews 11:24-25. After telling us to set our affection on things above, we're warned about setting our affection on things below. And so if we allow ourselves to come to the point that we simply live for the love of the gratifying of fleshly appetites, that kind of love is sin. I would doubt that there are any of us, and perhaps not any that we really know, who are involved to that degree. But it is possible for us to be involved with an attitude of love that becomes sin at a lesser degree. God made us in the beginning male and female. Christ refers to that in Matthew 19 before he talks about the husband-wife relationship. He even says that it is for that cause, the fact that God made us as male and female with appetite, it is for that cause that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. There is nothing ugly about the desire for physical love and companionship. And yet, if we allow that love to be directed to the wrong object, then love can become sin. When any person fulfills the gratification for companionship and physical love with any other person other than one's own spouse, although it is done in the name of love, and the indication is, I love that person, and I love to be involved with that person, that love has become sin. And the sad thing about it, folks, is that we're living at a time when it seems to be becoming the acceptable thing. I listened to a portion of a program on television the other night that was giving somewhat of a documentary on the sexual revolution connected with television. One statement caught my attention especially, that at this time, on the average soap opera, every day, there are from 2 to 6 bed scenes in which sometimes very little is left to the imagination of the complete physical relationship between two people. And they did not go ahead and say this, but from what I have seen, most of those are between two people who are not married to each other. And if a comment is made about it, here is usually the comment that is made. Those two people are making love. They're really not doing any such thing. They're fulfilling lust. And when that is the love that is being talked about, and that feeling for physical love is directed toward one who is not an approved spouse in the sight of God, that which is called love becomes sin. And then there is another area of thought on this point that we need to consider. Jesus says that we can even silently have feelings of love that are sin. I do not have the right, if I'm going to have the approval of God, to look upon any woman to lust after her. I have the right to look at any person with appreciation, even to appreciate attractiveness. I think even to appreciate the apparent fact that some woman is a wonderful wife and a wonderful spouse to her husband. I believe I can look at that woman and appreciate that. And as a Christian with a type of love, especially toward a sister in Christ, not sin. But if I in my mind develop an affection for, a type of love toward someone else to the extent that I look to lust, Matthew 5:28, that love has become sin. I do not have the right to even entertain the thought of fulfilling my desire for love and companionship with any other person other than my wife. And when I do, that which is called love becomes sin, the lust of the flesh. In fact, this last point might very well be put in the second category that is discussed here, the lust of the eyes, because it involves the looking to lust and perhaps involves the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. But let's look at some other types of love as we look at the lust of the eyes. We look at things, we see things, we desire things, we have affection for things. And in a sense, that's a development of a type of love for things. And if you notice, what he's saying here in verse 15 is, he says, don't love the things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. In Luke 12:15, we're told that a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. And yet, if we're not careful, and I think all of us have to fight this, we will allow ourselves to become so tied to material things, whether it's on the job, whether it's in a system of education, preparing for a career, to where, if we're not careful, we allow our affection to be directed at the things as an end instead of a means to an end. And when we do, our love and affection for the things of this world can become sin. Paul perhaps explained it best in 1 Timothy 6:10 when he said the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. It is wrong to love money. It is not wrong to appreciate money for what it can do and to desire it to be able to support our families, reach out to help our neighbors, promote and support the work of God and good things. It is not wrong for us to desire that medium of exchange to help us to live a reasonable life. But it is when we love that money instead of loving what it can do for good that we begin to have a love that becomes sin. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I think the older we get, the more we realize how true that is. And so as we look at the things in life and we let our affection be on the things instead of the concepts that are important, and we have a love for things that really guides us in most of our decisions, we have a love that has become sin. Then there is the pride of life that is mentioned here also in verse 16. I don't know that I understand all that's involved in that, but I believe the Bible indicates two or three things that certainly are. One is the love of popularity. Don't you know people who would do almost anything to be popular? Some of the bad decisions that have been made by all of us in earlier years in life were made because we were looking at what others thought and what others would suggest that would be good for us to do. Had this problem in the Lord's time. You remember there were those who believed on him but would not confess him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, John 12:43. Now the Bible uses the word love. They loved the praise of men. And here again, I would think that all of us have an element of that in our thinking. We enjoy approval, and that's not necessarily wrong. But when we let the love of the love for the praise of men and the love for popularity take place of something else, and especially crowd out our love for God and our love for truth and what is right, then that love becomes sin. It is not wrong to be popular, but there is a problem when a person seeks that and loves that and desires that and has affection for that, and again can almost let it become his God. Another way the Bible talks about this specific point is in connection with a specific person called Diotrephes in 3 John verse 9. The word love is used in this verse. It says he loved the preeminence. He loved to be able to be up and look down at others. He loved the preeminence. He had to be the top dog. There's a type of love that can become sin. Contrast the preeminent love of Diotrephes with the sacrificial love of our Savior bending down to wash feet. The love of preeminence is a love that can be sin. In other words, when we are addicted to anything, and I'm not just talking about drugs here, I'm talking about when we are addicted to anything, to where we place more emphasis upon the things that are temporal instead of the things that are eternal, 2 Corinthians 4:18, we have a love that becomes sin. And if you tie that verse with 1 John 2:15, love not the things in the world. He says the things in the world that we're talking about are those things that are temporal. And when we become addicted to anything, whether it is a kind of sports, or a way of life, or a job, or whatever, and we let that take our pride of life, that becomes our pride, then love can become sin. So love can become sin in the lust of the flesh, loving fleshly things too much, the lust of the eye, loving the things of this world too much, or the pride of life, loving a position too much in relationship to other things. And that last statement brings on the fourth point that's sort of included in the entirety of this context. That's the relationship to other things. Notice he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The indication is that this person is putting the things of this world before his Father and the love for that Father. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world, and departed from them. I'm not for sure here exactly what is involved in the word world in this particular verse. I have a tendency to believe that it has to do with things more than it does with unrighteousness. But there was something in this world that caught the attention of Demas. Paul needed him to go with him and help preach the gospel. The world was pulling him in this direction, and so Demas let the things of this world take priority over service to God. He loved this present world, and his love became sin, no doubt out of his lack of focus and getting his priorities straight. It is not wrong for you to love your family. But it is wrong for you to love your family more than you love God. He that loveth father or mother or son or daughter or wife or husband or whoever more than me is not worthy of me, Matthew 10:37. He said if you don't love God more than you love anybody in your family, and the closest one should be your husband or wife, if you don't love God more than you love your husband or wife, he says you're not worthy to follow Jesus Christ. So you see, the love that is right for a husband for his wife becomes wrong when he elevates that love above a higher level of love. You You remember the levels of love that we discussed, I believe, last Sunday evening. When we put people before God and we love somebody more than we love God, that love becomes sin. If I love myself more than I love my family, I have a problem. The Bible teaches me to have self-esteem and self-respect. In fact, I'm convinced that a person who does not love himself in that way will have difficulty loving anybody. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy wife as thine own body. There has to be self-respect and self-esteem. But if you and I let our self-esteem and our self-respect become selfishness, then love can become sin. If we put self before family, if we put self before God, remember Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and come after me, then even self-love can become sin because it's not in the proper perspective with our love for God. It is right for me to support my family financially. But if I take that should be given to God, like the tithes of Malachi 3, am I not robbing him? It is right for me to love myself to the extent that I take care of my needs and work in order to be able to support my needs. But if I take that which belongs to God to take care of my needs, is my self-love becoming sin? And although it is right for me to use that which comes in my direction to take care of my needs, if I, like the rich young ruler, am so concerned about selfish desires that I cannot see the needs of my neighbor, has not my self-love become sin? Jesus told that rich young ruler, go sell what you have and give to the poor. I think if you'll analyze everything that's said in that story, Jesus was not saying, don't you keep anything for yourself and don't you pay your debts and don't you take care of your responsibilities. I believe there's room in that, if you'll study it, for him to take care of himself and still give to the poor. But he did not want to do that. He went away sorrowful because, here's exactly the cause, because he was in love with money. He was very rich. Had enough to take care of his needs and help how many people? But he let his self-love be above the love for others and the love for the Savior and what the Savior taught him. Folks, love is one of the greatest concepts that's talked about in the Bible. And I would underscore what I said this morning. Love from God to us is unspeakable. And the whole concept of love, when it's put in proper focus, is perhaps beyond our complete understanding. But there are some ways in which love is sin. You and I direct our love for physical companionship to the wrong object. It is sin. If we direct a proportion of our love that is not appropriate to money and the things of this world, the lust of the eyes, it's sin. If we are interested in position, promotion, preeminence, the praise of men, more than the praise of God, our love for that pride is sin. And when we allow any kind of love which is right in its proper place to be put above our love for God, or any kind of love that is at a higher level, it is sin. The same Bible that says love the right object in the right way says love not the world and the things that are in the world. It's only when we are able to control our feelings of love, to control our emotions, to where we have a feeling that is directed toward the right object that produces the right action, that we really have the scriptural love. I like what is said in Galatians 2:20 about Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Take the verbs out. He loved and gave. He had a feeling and he had action. And it's also in that same book of Galatians at chapter 5 and verse 6 that Paul in the latter part of the verse says, it is a faith which worketh by love. The right kind of love is a feeling of affection that is directed toward the right object with the appropriate action. And if either of those three is not in proper place, love can be sin. Thanks be to God for the great love that he had for us, for the opportunity that he has given us to love him, to share in the different kinds of love that means so much to us and grow day by day in our relationships. May God help us to focus on that kind of love and to control lust and covetousness and anything that would come under the love knots. God loved you enough to give his son on the cross that you might be able to be a Christian, live for him, and go to heaven. Christ had no problems with the love knots because he lived in perfection with love. I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you if you become a Christian, you'll never have another problem. I think there's not a one of us who can say we'll never have another temptation. We will have those temptations. There's not a one of us who can say we'll never make a mistake in these areas. We will make mistakes. But I can stand here tonight and tell you that the love of Jesus Christ and what it produced is enough to make it possible for us to grow in our love and to overcome those mistakes and receive forgiveness when we make those mistakes and love not the world, but love the Father who makes it possible for us to be Christians. You need to be baptized into him tonight to receive the benefits of that kind of love, or need to come back as a wayward child of his. Come as together we stand and sing.